manager, one of the things I can just about remember from school, this seemed like a long time ago now, was that I could not do English. I was rubbish at English, and I still have nightmares about, yes, they were O levels in those days, doing my English O level, because I wasn't expected to pass it by anyone, let alone me. And for those of you who remember Dillis Cotton, who was here for many years, she was an English teacher in Yalu, and she taught me to write again, so it was legible. And she taught me to have one essay that I could do, and it didn't matter what the subject matter was in the question, I was going to write that essay regardless. And I did. And I scraped the past, so I'm forever thankful to Dennis Cotton. The other thing that I used to hate was English literature. I had no chance at English language, let alone English literature. So I'm sure there's some of you who love English literature. And so you will be well aware of some of the great books that have been written, and especially one called Great Expectations. Anybody? A few. Written by?
Yeah.
Dickens. I think it was serialised originally, and it came out every week or every month or something often. They would all clamour out to read this book, Great Expectations. Tonight, I've been told to keep it short, so there you go, introduction, probably two already. I want to look at maybe having some great expectations for the year ahead. For the year ahead. It's the first Sunday of 2018. That's an exciting time, believe it or not. An exciting time. And when I was thinking about the new year, obviously some things crop up. So, who's made a New Year's resolution? No one's owned up to making a New Year's resolution. Or one, perhaps they don't want to tell us about. Oh, one. Yeah, go on.
Save some money.
Save some money. Well, I did a research and I've got the top five New Year's resolutions, all right? So I'm just going to read them out quickly. I'll do them in reverse order. Yeah, big build up to number one. So number five was to read more books. That's not bad, one, actually, is it, when you think about it? Read more books. Number four on the list was called self-care. Self-care. And then in brackets, sleep more was next to it. So do you know what? Actually, we can probably do with that. Take a little bit more care of ourselves. Maybe sleep in more. Number three, spend less money. Well, there you go, Ben. Number three. Spend less money. It's easy to say that, isn't it, now when we've got no money after Christmas. But spend less money. Number two, and I think this is the one that's probably closer to my heart, because Jonathan Wells has made me sign up to a bike ride, is to exercise more. Who'd like to exercise more in 2018? There's a few. Yeah, I might live to regret that. But exercise more. And number one New Year's resolution. Anybody got any ideas? Oh, that's so close. Lose weight, you mentioned. Well, actually, it's eat better. Eat better, so maybe you get away with that. Lose weight, eat better, don't know. And those are sort of the type of New Year's resolutions that people have for the New Year. What's that going to do with Psalm 30? Well, I believe that Psalm 30, I'm only going to look at those first five verses briefly this evening. I think here we see that David's given us three examples of how we can have great expectations for the new year. How we can look and face 2018 together. So, first one is this. The first thing we need to do at the beginning of 2018 is actually to look back over our lives. Look back over 2017, maybe. Maybe look back over our lives. Why do I say that? Let's look at verse 1. Verse 1 says this, bless the Lord, O my soul. That's not. That's coming later on. I have a new Bible. I'm very excited. I know it's a Christmas present for my sister. And the text is nice and big. That was the request. A large print Bible. Here you go. I'll extol you, O Lord. Psalm 30. Verse 1. I'll extol you, O Lord, For you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. There's that little word exalt or extol there. You notice there? And it means to lift up, it means to glorify on purpose. It's it's an intentional action. God, I'm going to glorify you, not as a mistake, I'm going to glorify you intentionally. And that's what David's saying. I'm going to praise you on purpose. Do you know what? That would be really good to do in 2018, wouldn't it? To praise God on purpose. Something to look forward to, I would suggest. Why? Well, in the next few verses, he sort of looks back on his life, and I hope he can look back on our lives, and we can probably see something. Why are we going to praise you on purpose, Lord? Well, David writes, because you've lifted me out. You've drawn me out of the depths, out of despair. Verse 2, because you have healed me. Because you have healed me. Verse 3, because you have saved my soul. Why should we praise God intentionally? Because he's done that for us. It was amazing, isn't it? So when you talk about perhaps 2017, in some respects, wasn't the best of years. But she's known God's presence. And that's special. That's special. That's why we can go through tough times with him and still be able to rejoice and to praise him. So David's saying, I'm going to exalt you. I'm going to extol you, Lord. I'm going to praise you on purpose. Others may forget you, Lord. Others may murmur against you. Others might just forget you. Others may even despise you, Lord. But I'm going to intensively and intentionally worship you and praise you. This is if David said, you know what? I don't need some guy at the front of church giving me a prep talk. Don't need that. I don't need to get fired up. I'm just going to praise you, God, for what you've done for me. Because when I look back over my life, I think things over and I can remember what you've done for me. I can remember, Lord, how you helped me in that situation, in that circumstance. I can remember where you lifted me out from the pit of hell, from that ditch of sin, maybe. When you lifted me out of my bed of sickness, maybe out of pain. When you lifted me out of bondage, of fear, and maybe doubt, and maybe depression. You've done all that for me, God, and I will exalt you. Oh Lord, because when I think of your goodness to me, I have no choice but to praise you. He counts and quotes, that's the first one. Secondly, the second thing we need to do to have great expectations for the new year is that we need to sing and give thanks. Sing and give thanks. If you look at verse 4, I'm reading the ESV, it says this: sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. Give thanks to his holy name. Thinking the idea, it says, sing to the Lord, you saints of his, praise his holy name. So yes, we need to look back over our life, look back into the past and to give thanks. But we need to sing and give thanks right now, in the present, if you like. You notice that in verse 4, we have two commands to praise God. Two commands, to sing and to give thanks. Commands. Contrary to popular belief, commands aren't options. We can't choose not to sing and not to give thanks. We're commanded to do it. We're commanded to do it. The mood or the tense of both words, that your discourse will be proud of me. The mood or the tense of the words, saying the thanks is imperative. For those of you who know about these things, you can correct me later, I'm more than happy to be corrected. Which identifies that these words are as an order, as a command, we have to do it. To make it simple, this verse is simply a call to all to show an appreciation for what God has done for you and for me. It should be easy, shouldn't it? He's done so much. So David can say, sing praise to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. This one for you. Did you notice that David didn't say, okay, just you with good voices sing. Just you, you know, with perfect pitch. You lot can sing. The rest of you, keep quiet. Wait till you get to heaven when you'll have perfect voices. He didn't say that. He talks to all believers. All believers to sing. So whether you have a good voice, maybe a not so good voice, do you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because we're commanded to sing and give thanks to God. That's encouragement, isn't it? I don't know why or what, why you came here tonight. I don't know what you were expecting. I can't remember how it was entitled in there. New sheet, was it praise and something? Prayer and praise. You might have thought, especially if you think two things. One would be, oh, that sounds really dull. Or you might be, actually, that sounds really exciting. I'm hoping it's the latter. Because we have so much to praise and to pray about at the beginning of the year, don't we? And if you ever forget your purpose for coming to church, or even perhaps your purpose for being alive as a Christian, then just come to here to verse 4 and obey these two commands. To sing and give thanks. Tell you what, if we were to obey those commands, we would see a difference, at least in our singing, I would suggest. I preach in some of the little churches in the area, and there's one that I love to go to in Pennock High. Some of you think of Pennock High this morning. And the reason I go to Pennock High, because they sing. They sing amazingly well. They sing like half of a male voice choir somewhere tucked under the pews. And when you go there, it lifts your soul when you stand at the front as you hear them singing in parts and singing joyfully and loudly. It's such an encouragement. And I suggest if we were to do the same, actually we would encourage one another. Not only are we singing our praises to God, but we would encourage one another. So let's sing and give thanks, shall we? Thirdly, we're on the three, nearly there. Jonathan should have a bit of time left. The third and final thing we need to have great expectations for the year is that we need to trust God for the future. Trust Him for the future. We've thought about the past and how He's been with us. We know that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we need to trust Him for the future. Verse 5, for His anger is but for a moment, and His favour is for a lifetime. Weeping may remain, may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Briefly, there are three things here I don't want us to miss. Number one, God's anger is only for a moment. It's only for a moment. This is where Psalm 103 came in earlier. Let me just read a few verses from Psalm 103, and it's 8 to 12. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not hold his child, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. His anger is but for a moment. can't think of a better reason to exalt him. I know that when I look in my heart, as a man, as a husband, as a father, I know that sometimes I can hold on to anger, longing. But it's encouraging, isn't it, to know that God's anger lasts only a moment. Only a moment. Let's face it, he does have every reason to be angry with us because of sin. He has every right to be angry with me, old, wretched man that I am. And yet that Psalm 103, verse 10 reminds us, he doesn't deal with us according to our sin, according to our iniquities. He doesn't repay us. And surely for that we should say thank you. For that we should sing and give thanks. For that we can look forward to the future. Secondly, the second reason we should trust God for the results for the future is found in verse 5 of 30. His favour lasts a lifetime. There's a contrast there, isn't it? His anger for a moment, but his favour for a lifetime. You speak to some people and they say, oh, that's just not fair. That's not fair. How can God be like that? How can God treat you that way, with all that goodness, with all that love, with all that mercy, with all that grace? Don't get mad at us. You can't get mad at God either for being gracious and loving and merciful. What else do you expect from a heavenly Father? Didn't Jesus talk about, would you expect an earthly father to give you a stone if you were hungry, or to give you a snake instead of a hamster? Or guinea pig. But God gives good gifts. He is a loving Father. In Luke 11:13 says this, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God gives good gifts. And so we can trust him for the future. Thirdly, we need to trust God for the results for the future, because joy is on the way. Joy is on the way. He notices at the end in verse 5, weeping may tarry, may last for the night, but, some great buts in the Bible, but joy comes with the morning. Before we get to joy, maybe briefly think of weeping. It's there, isn't it? It's there in the Bible that we have to go through those times when we do weep, for lots of different reasons. Maybe it is because of things that have gone wrong in our lives. Maybe it is because of health or family or just life. So yes, we will weep. We can't get away from it. I think Ben said this morning when we were looking at the cartoons, I have seen that film. I had to find some young kids to go and take some to watch it. They were showing kids, I was alright. I remember watching it. And there is that joy, I can't remember what character it was, sorrow, sadness, thing working together. Can't remember the film's called, man.
Inside Out,
thank you. And it's true, isn't it? It's true that we can't have one without going through the other. Notice in verse 5, David says, weeping may endure for a night. In other words, we will weep. And it may last the whole night. It may last a period of time. We will all weep. It's going to happen. We can't get away from weeping, from being sad at some time. And we know it's true because in life we will face, at some stage, tribulations. And I reckon if you haven't faced a tribulation yet in your life, you will. You will. You'll go through hard times. The Bible tells us so. And yet, when you read that verse, there's not a full stop. Did you notice it when we read it? Weeping may tarry for the night. It's not a full stop. That's not the end, not the end of the story. It's a comma. There you go, just must be fragile. But joy comes with the morning. It simply means that the story doesn't end with sorrow. It doesn't end with weeping. But joy. We have to remember joy. I don't know what 2018 is going to bring you and it's going to bring me. It may be great here. Trying to think back on 2017, what I thought of that. It was a strange year. Spent most of the year recovering from my shoulder up, which meant I couldn't really do the things I wanted to do. Not being able to snowboard for 2 years has been horrendous. Well, yesterday it was great. Or ride my bike, and then other things happen. Some good, and some not so good. But we still trust him. We still think, sing, and we still give thanks because of what he did. And I want to remember this verse. But joy comes. But joy comes. So whether 2018 brings you, whether you go through situation after situation, or you go through circumstance after circumstance, or dilemma after dilemma, or hurt after hurt, pain after pain. Hold on. Don't give up. Hold on as tight as you can. But there is an encouragement if you think your strength is failing. If you think it's all about you holding on to him. But let me read and finish with this in verse 10, John 10, 29. Jesus speaking. Remember that. Jesus is speaking. My Father who has given them to me, that's us if we're Christians, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. He holds on to us. It's with his strength that we're kept through the weeping, so we can enjoy that